Welcome to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Coming up, we'll review the week's top stories about this week's election, where congressional races are shaping up, and the outcome of Chicago's real estate transfer tax increase appearing to fail. I'll then join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss those stories and more. That's ahead with Illinois in Focus.
Do you know what elected officials in Illinois are doing with your tax dollars? Do you want to make sure that your voice is heard? If so, then you need Blue Room Stream, a live and archived video streaming service that provides access to government meetings and events. With Blue Room Stream, you can watch how your elected officials make decisions, hold them accountable for their actions, and be a more informed citizen. Blue Room Stream is the perfect way to get involved in the democratic process and to make a difference in your community. Subscribe today at blueroomstream.com.
Welcome back to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Here are some of the top stories from the past week. November's general election for congressional districts across Illinois are coming into focus after Tuesday's primary. Incumbent Republican U.S. Representative Mike Boss declared victory over challenger Darren Bailey, saying primaries are tough and Bailey was going against a fellow conservative.
And every time that he tried to attack us on an issue, I got endorsed by the people he said I didn't support. Whether it was pro-life or whether it was Second Amendment, and the list went on.
Bost is expected to take on Brian Roberts in November. Roberts is projected to beat Preston Nelson for the Democratic primary in that district. In other congressional districts, Joshua Lloyd is the projected winner in the 13th congressional district primary. He's expected to face against the Democrat incumbent, U.S. Representative Nikki Budzinski, in November. For Illinois' 17th congressional district, it looks like a matchup between Republican Joe McGraw and incumbent Democrat U.S. Representative Eric Sorensen. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson vows to continue his agenda despite an apparent defeat of his Bring Chicago Home referendum. Kevin Bessler has that story.
The measure, which would have increased the city's real estate transfer tax on properties over $1 million and used the funds to pay for homelessness programs, now appears to be rejected by voters. Johnson says in hindsight, he wishes he would have done more campaigning on the issue.
How do we make sure that they understand the assignment, even if they're not impacted? Where the point of pain is where we should actually lead. And the people of Chicago, where that point of pain is quite potent, they're very clear about what this was about.
Opponents said Johnson never revealed a specific plan on how the money would be spent and pointed to Los Angeles, which passed a similar tax that caused a slowdown in the real estate market. That tax is facing repeal in the November election. I'm Kevin Bessler.
Those are the top stories from the past week from Illinois. Find more online at thecentersquare.com. Coming up for Illinois in Focus, I'll join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss the news. This is Illinois in Focus, a production of America's Talking Network. I'm Greg Bishop.
Tired of being in the dark about what happens day to day under the dome in Springfield? Do you want to be more informed in the decision-making process? If so, you need Blue Room Stream, a live and archived video streaming service that provides access to government meetings and events. With Blue Room Stream, you can watch elected officials in action, holding them accountable, and having your say on issues that matter most to you. Blue Room Stream is the perfect way to stay informed about Illinois state government and to be a more engaged citizen. Become a subscriber today at blueroomstream.com.
Greetings and welcome to Illinois in Focus, powered by the Center Square. I'm Dan McCaleb, Chief Content Officer at Franklin News Foundation, publisher of the Center Square Newswire service. It was primary day in Illinois this week, and voters in Chicago were asked to decide on a controversial $100 million tax increase on real estate sales for properties listed at more than $1 million. If successful, the tax hike would not just have affected home sales of the more affluent homeowners, but the sale of business and other commercial properties as well. With mail-in ballots still being counted, it appears that the referendum failed. Joining me today to discuss this is Greg Bishop, the Center Square's Illinois Associate Editor. Greg, there are a number of complexities in the storylines over this referendum. We'll get into that in a minute, but let's start with where the referendum stands in terms of vote totals and outstanding votes still to be counted.
Yeah, so as of right now, 98% of precincts reporting in Chicago, not Cook County. This was a Chicago-only referendum. And as of right now, 54% said no, and 46% said yes. So as it is right now, it looks like that ballot referendum is going to fail. But even Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, he noted that there were uncounted ballots because Illinois allows for up to 2 weeks for mail-in ballots to ultimately be counted and added to the tally. Now, whether or not the thousands of remaining ballots that were not sent in before Election Day, whether or not that's going to turn this the other way, we have yet to see, and we won't know the full final outcome of whether or not taxpayers can expect to pay more in transferring real estate over $1 million, and whether or not that measure is going to ultimately be approved or not. But as it stands right now, 54% no, 46% yes. But we'll be tracking that over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, Greg, the Free Market Illinois Policy Institute did an analysis of the votes that have already been counted and the outstanding mail-in ballots that could still come in. And their analysis showed that 80% of those outstanding mail-in ballots would have to be yes votes and just 20% no votes for the referendum to actually pass. That seems like a tall task, but we won't know until they are all in and all the votes are counted. Let's talk about the money. Brandon Johnson pitched this referendum, this tax increase referendum. The new revenue would be used to address the homelessness issue in Chicago. Of course, the migrant crisis with tens of thousands of migrants relocating to Chicago from the southern border, that's only enhanced the homelessness problem in the city. But there's others who are claiming that because the referendum doesn't specifically dedicate the money to the homelessness issue, that Johnson and the city council could use any excess revenue however they wanted. Tell us a little bit about that angle.
Yeah, so even to the issue of how the funds could be used, a lot of uncertainty about the language of the proposal. And you even had some talk of what could possibly be earmarked for Chicago teachers, as the Chicago Teachers Union was a major backer of Brandon Johnson in his bid for mayor. Some of the indication is that they're in conversations with a new contract that could include some kind of assistance for Chicago teachers to live in Chicago. So that raised a red flag for people when that information started coming out before the election as to whether or not you're really going to have clear delineation of these dollars going to help the homeless population in the city of Chicago. One thing to note, the city of Chicago already spends tens of millions of dollars on the homeless situation and has so for years, but really haven't seen a major dip in the amount of homeless being housed. And that also raises the question of throwing more money at this problem. Will that even do a change? Will that bring about substantive change to house the homeless? But Dan, you also have residents of the city of Chicago telling the Chicago City Council with a meeting this week. One gentleman stood up and he said he was glad that the Bring Chicago Home ordinance failed, saying that he advocated for it to fail. And he linked that to the migrant crisis, saying that hundreds of millions of dollars are being spent on migrants when that money could be going to the community to help the homeless population. So clearly, it looks like the majority of voters in Chicago, and by the way, a very low turnout primary, right? I mean, we're looking at 17%+ in the turnout for Chicago alone, in Cook County as well. And that's number one. We could have a whole different show talking about low voter turnout. But it looks like those who did turn out are not in favor of this, saying that they don't see the funds going to where they should, and even saying that the migrant situation is drawing funds away from focusing on things like addressing homelessness in the city.
Greg, one last point to make on this topic, and that's the Chicago Teachers Union, which you referenced, big supporters of Mayor Brandon Johnson, also big supporters of this getting this referendum passed. Controversial matter in that the teachers union encouraged and the Chicago Public Schools allowed students to be taken out of school, students who are of voting age, to go vote on this referendum during the early voting period last week. A number of critics of that accused them of illegal electioneering. Your final thoughts on this?
Yeah, a lot of questions there. And as far as the a proper use of school children's time and whether or not they should be encouraged to go be advocates for one issue or the other. You know, there's a fine line between teaching about American civics and then also encouraging people to, you know, vote a certain way. So clearly that's a controversial issue when it comes to the Bring Chicago Home ordinance and the tax increase. But really, I think that people saw the opposition to the tax increase from businesses. It doesn't matter, you know, the ethnicity of the business owner. They would have had to have paid increased taxes if they were to sell their property. But there were also major concerns about what this measure could do for rents, because if you have the increased taxes on transfer of property over $1 million, you could possibly see the price of that property having to go up, but the value not necessarily being impacted. And if you have the price of the property going up, that's going to increase rent for people and businesses. So you even had the Black Chamber of Commerce in Chicago adamantly opposed to this, essentially calling it a migrant tax and bad for business. And I will say that a lot of others pointing, including the Illinois Policy Institute, to the idea of addressing homelessness by getting rid of business regulations, ensuring that people who are in need of jobs are able to get jobs, by making a better business climate. And that alone, people say that it could help solve the problem of homelessness without increasing taxes.
Greg, let's talk about a couple other items from the primary ballot. As we've written about at thecentersquare.com, one of the headlines was that the lack of choices on these ballots. Voter turnout was low, as you mentioned. And part of that is because there really weren't any high-profile races. One of the biggest ones was probably from a downstate congressional district where you had incumbent U.S. Representative Mike Bost being challenged by former state senator Darren Bailey, who ran and lost against Governor Pritzker in the last gubernatorial election. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, an interesting race, especially, you know, you have two conservatives going head to head in a primary election. And when Bost declared victory on Tuesday night, it was late in the night. As numbers were coming in, Bost had a commanding lead. But then as some of the eastern counties from that southern Illinois congressional district started to come in, Bailey started to make some gains. But he did not make enough gains to overtake Bost's lead. But Bost said that primaries are tough, and Bailey was going against a fellow conservative. He said every time that Bailey attacked him on an issue, Bost got endorsed by the people that he said he was not supporting, like the pro-life groups and the Second Amendment groups, and the list goes on, Bost said. But Bost took the time Tuesday night to, instead of talking further about Darren Bailey, he set his sights on November, and he says that it's time to get Republicans back in control of the U.S. Senate, to grow the House majority, and to get President Donald Trump back into the White House, saying that they need to secure the border, they need to make sure that the world knows that they have a competent leader back in power. So obviously, congressional races starting to take shape across the state for that November 5th general election. Back to the competition, you've got the indication from the Senate Minority Leader John Curran. When I chatted with him, he addressed the lack of competition and the low voter turnout being, you know, obviously one symptom of that. But he said it was because of the gerrymandered maps in the state of Illinois, where, you know, we've reported more than half of the available seats of the Illinois General Assembly up for grabs. The party was already determined. In many of those, there were no challengers for the incumbent lawmaker. So clearly the gerrymandered maps where Illinois has been given an F grade are a major concern for those who follow politics, saying it's a hurdle that is difficult to overcome. But clearly primaries are primary elections and the party faithful are the ones that go out. We'll see what the voter turnout is and whether or not we're going to have more competition in those state house seats across the state. A couple of other quick items, some kind of interesting storyline lines that popped out, especially for the General Assembly races. Long time, nearly 40-year legislator up in the Chicago area, Mary Flowers. She lost her primary election, so she's no longer going to be in the Illinois General Assembly after January of next year. But you had some other interesting storylines. Chicago State Senator Natalie Toro, there was a four- or five-way race for the Democrat primary there, and a lot of money going into that race. You had the Senate Democrat Fund supporting Toro as an incumbent, but then you had the Chicago Teachers supporting one of the lead competitors, Guzman, and Guzman ended up winning that race. But of course, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars that were poured into that campaign. So that's just a sampling of some of the interesting storylines that came out. Another one, you had downstate Republicans being challenged by Republicans in the primary that were getting teacher union money. We still have yet to see the outcome in one race with Adam Niemerg against his opponents. They were both write-in candidates, which is another interesting storyline altogether. So that race didn't have anybody on the ballot. They actually had to have people write in names. But another race with Blaine Wilhauer going up against a Republican that was getting teacher union money. Wilhauer declared victory in that race. So despite the rarity of the teachers unions supporting Republicans, it does not seem to have changed the trajectory of these incumbent Republicans in downstate Illinois.
You mentioned the migrant crisis in facing Chicago during the tax increase referendum discussion. But now there are some Republicans who are wanting better scrutiny over how those tax dollars are being spent. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the governor obviously looking to get his proposed budget across the finish line before the end of May. It's a major issue that they've got to deal with the state house. And you're looking at $52.7 billion of spending. But one thing that took attention during a recent Senate Appropriations Committee was the governor's ability to do transfers and having the leeway of not 2%, not 4%, but up to 8% to take a fund and shift the priority of that fund upwards to 8% in one direction. So there was some pushback on that idea. State Senator Chapin Rose, he pointed out that this is a large amount of power going to the governor, and it really takes away from the transparency for taxpayers to know how their dollars are being spent. But clearly, this is going to be part of that budget negotiation process going through. But obviously, there's still overarching concerns about who's getting these migrant contracts. How much money are we going to be spending on non-citizen health care? How about other problems that are not being addressed because of the hundreds of millions of dollars going towards the non-citizen migrant crisis in the state of Illinois? So there's a lot of uncertainty on how to track those dollars, on how to hold the Pritzker administration accountable for how those dollars are spent, and just how much this cost is going to drive funding from other programs across the state.
Another story we covered at thecentersquare.com this week, the latest U.S. Census data information that was released breaks down populations by county across the country. And an analysis of that new data by the Illinois Policy Institute shows that 87 of Illinois' 102 counties, including all eight metro areas in the state, lost population. Tell us more.
Well, if you raise that issue with Democrats at the state house, they'll say that that's just not true. And it's something that they've pushed back on for years now, despite the estimates from the U.S. Census showing that the state of Illinois continues to lose population. And we've had a decade of decline in the state of Illinois. That is 10 straight years of tens of thousands of people each year estimated to have left the state of Illinois. We lost a congressional seat in the most recent appropriate, the apportionment for congressional seats. You're talking economic impact, taxpayer impact, the number of people who are able to support a certain area. So we've known for years that population is declining in the state. But when the governor is asked about this, for instance, Governor J.B. Pritzker, he seems to be in population decline denial, I guess, because he says that the census got the numbers wrong. But the governor, even a couple of months ago, he put out a statement saying that the U.S. Census is changing Illinois' population. But Dan, last I checked, we still lost a seat in Congress. We're still, a million or so shy of what we were 10 years ago, and even more so from 20 years ago. And clearly the U.S. Census numbers, even if they revise the numbers upward, we're still seeing fewer and fewer people in the state of Illinois. And people are moving, not necessarily to Florida where it's nice and sunny, not necessarily to Texas where it's nice and sunny. Now, they're moving to our neighboring states. And we're the only state in the Midwest that saw this level of population decline. Some saying that we need a better business climate in the state. We need better job opportunities in the state. But when you have people denying that we're losing population, that kind of leads you to think that there's not really going to be any substantive change to reverse that trend.
Chicago, just noting that Chicago lost 41,000 residents in 2023. That accounts for about half of all of the state's population loss that year. And, violent crime, of course, is a big issue in Chicago. You've had major business owners leaving the city, citing that violent crime. As you also mentioned, the business regulations in the state and the high taxes in Chicago and across the state, too. I'm going to close with this one. Interesting juxtaposition of stories that we've been covering at the State House. A new bill that's been filed in the state capitol seeks to end euthanasia for cats and dogs in the state. Contrasting that with another piece of legislation that we've written about previously at thecentersquare.com about legalizing assisted suicide of people in the state. Why don't we start with the news story about ending euthanasia for cats and dogs? Tell us about that.
Yeah, and the sponsor of this measure, State Senator Mike Simmons, Democrat out of Chicago, he said that this was necessary because, during the pandemic, when people were told they couldn't go to work or couldn't go and hang out with their friends, they adopted animals, cats or dogs, from their local shelter. And then once the restrictions were lifted by the governor, you have people going back to work realizing, wait a second, I can't take care of this dog anymore. So there's been a concern for a while about an increased number of pets being returned to animal shelters. And what do you do if your animal shelter gets overloaded? And these are a lot of times some nonprofit groups, but you also have animal control that is funded by taxpayers across the state that have to deal with this issue as well. But some of the measures that we're looking at here, one in particular from Mike Simmons, would say that you can't euthanize cats or dogs that are in shelters. While he says that pet owners could still euthanize their animals if the animal's old and it's in the best interest of the animal, so it's no longer suffering. He says that would still be in place, but you could not have shelters euthanize cats and dogs. Well, groups that help run and represent these shelters say it's a bad idea, because they need to be able to maintain proper control of the population in those animal shelters for reasons of disease, reasons of ensuring that these animals have proper facilities and space. And that these shelters aren't being overrun. But clearly, this is an interesting issue that's taking precedent, at least for Senator Simmons.
Greg, we are just about out of time, so we're not going to be able to get into the separate legislation that would legalize assisted suicides in the state. We have talked about that on Illinois in Focus in the past. We'll save that conversation because there's plenty of legislative sessions still left. These bills are either going to move or they're not going to move. We'll see. Greg's team at thecentersquare.com will be covering them. Greg, thank you for joining us. As mentioned, listeners can keep up with these stories and more at thecentersquare.com.